about himself, things that are so different than you and I. And Bible teachers sometimes call that God's attributes. It's his way of introducing himself to us. And when I have a chance to look in the Bible, or when people write about the attributes of God, it really gives me a change of heart, helps me to trust the Lord a lot more, because I'm reminded about his greatness and his strength and his power. So Psalm 50 and the end of Romans 11 are very much like that. And today is focused on one attribute of the Lord, one quality tells us about himself, which is his sufficiency. Okay, very different than you and I. And I want to emphasize that with a number of passages and illustrations. Do give credit to some of the guys who wrote a lot about that. Pastor Pink and Pastor Bickle, actually not a pastor, a Christian brother, and Pastor Piper there. But I want us to think that of the ways we have leaned on God's creation and therefore God himself before we got to worship today. And just the amount of people that we counted on just to get ourselves here parked and fully engaged in the worship of God. Just a few people for 60 seconds remind us of our dependence on God's creation and the people also he made. We relied on air, of course, and still are, hopefully. Water, gravity, solid ground, planets, and sun to get here. Okay, without that, we would be perishing rapidly, for sure. We relied on masonry workers, okay? And you're not sinking in the mud there. Electricians, plumbers, carpenters, the power company, the water company, road crews, police, national defense. Got here safely, apparently. That's good. You relied on farmers, if you had something to eat, packers, truck drivers, store workers, clothing manufacturers. Looking pretty bright today in our spring things. We relied on grooming products a bit, okay? We relied on appliance makers, auto engineers, auto workers, auto repair people, oil companies, greeters, ushers, custodians, musicians, secretary, Bible translators, Bible publishers, computer technicians, and the Lord God who gives life to them all. Okay, we are very dependent people. We depend on thousands of people every day, every moment, for our physical and our spiritual health. Okay, we're not on an island, just God and us would be a part of his creation. He'd be having coconuts fall out of the air so we could eat, or whatever the case would be. But we're very dependent creatures. And behind all of that, of course, God gives the people life. But God depends on no one. God depends on no one. He didn't wake up this morning saying, I hope the electricians, you know, come through for me. Or even my people. I might not be God if my people don't do what they're supposed to do. God depends on no one. He's totally sufficient. And that takes us back, because that's so different from everything he made. He depends on no one to create the universe. He depends on no one to send Jesus to be our Savior. He depends on no one for the atonement of his lost dear people. He depends on no one for the resurrection of Jesus. He depends on no one for truth or wisdom or counsel or miracles. He depends on no one. He is God. He depends on no one for Jesus' second coming. He's King of Kings. So God is 100% sufficient in himself. And it reminds us of our dependence on him. Oh, he deserves our trust, our obedience, our worship. Those are the things that come out of us. He leaves us bowed down in worship, knowing he's 100% trustworthy. So God would tell us different times in the Bible, God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. because God gives all men life, breath, and everything else. He invites us in to have a relationship with Him and to co-labor with Him, but He doesn't need us. He wants us. That's so much different. If you've ever had somebody in your life say, "Oh, I need you, I need you, come, I need you," you kind of get like, ugh. It messes you up. But if the person says, I want you to be a part of my life, and God says, I want you to come and trust me and follow me, it makes all the difference in the world. Psalm 50 gives us a picture of God's sufficiency. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks probably a couple times in Scripture, but not too many. God introduces Himself with the three main, two main ways He talks about Himself in the Old Testament. A little Hebrew, which is all I know, that's for sure. El Elohim Yahweh. There it is. El, the mighty one. Okay. If Jesus would be born, the mighty God. El. Elohim, God. God just says, I'm God of all. And does so 2,000 times in the Old Testament. Okay, 2,000. And then the Lord, which is Yahweh, 6,000 times, the most self-revealing name of God. He says, hey, I'm the mighty one, I'm God, I'm Yahweh the Lord, and I will not be silent. Okay, God's going to say something in the Bible, and especially in Psalm 50. I will speak, I will testify. Does anybody have a testimony today? We had a couple, that's good. God says, I have a testimony. All the time I have a testimony. Okay. And we can listen to Him when He talks to us in His creation, in our conscience, in His Word. And He says in that passage, it's really a call to His people to come before Him and give account, to express, oh, we're dependent on You, God. And You're not dependent on us. We're insufficient. And You're sufficient. Okay, in Yourself, and You're trustworthy. And He starts talking about their worship. He says, I'm not going to rebuke you for the offerings, but I really don't need them, the bulls and the goats and so forth. But you, give thanks to me. Give thanks to me. And, the creatures of the field are mine. It already belongs to me. And if I were hungry, I would not tell you. That's a good line. You know, somebody said, if you raid God's refrigerator, you're not going to eat Him out of house and home. Okay. He's sufficient for the needs that we have in our soul. So God says, I don't need a sacrifice. Give thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows, that is, trust and obey Him. Have a relationship with Him and call on God, and He will answer you in the day of trouble. God's reminding us how dependent we are on Him. We are like the creatures of the field, that He wants us to belong to Him. So trusting the Lord, a celebration of our dependence on God. Oh, we're in a safe place. We can know and serve and trust and love the mighty one, God the Lord. Okay, who He is, fills up our lives with Himself. He fills His universe with Himself. And it's almost insulting to God to say, well, you can come into my life, you know, and have an impact. He says, I don't need you to at all. I want you. And so we could give trust to God. What's it mean that God is sufficient and sovereign to run the universe? First, it means anybody outside of God is not sufficient. You and I, we can't handle life. Okay, we feel out of place looking for the heavenly home. We're not sufficient to run the universe or to run our life. And that's a faith and life changer. Okay, but we know God is sufficient. He depends on no one, and He's responsible to no one. That's something. Often when we don't understand life, I know I pray to God and I says, what are you doing now? You know, can you give me an explanation? And Job almost came to the point where he's, God, you owe me an explanation. God reminds us He doesn't owe us anything. Except if He gave us what He owes us, we would be perish forever in hell itself. But God depends on no one, responsible to no one. We're totally the opposite. We depend on thousands. We depend on God. We're responsible to God. And actually, we're responsible to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Your spiritual health influences everybody else in this room. Everybody else in the community and in the nation. Okay? You're responsible. How you walk, how you're doing. You do have an impact. You do matter. But God, we bow to Him. He's responsible to no one. Everything not God depends on God. So we depend on God. 100%, all the time. Jesus cannot be improved. He just isn't learning anything this week. Okay, He has all knowledge. And He knows the past, present, and future perfectly. Jesus can't be measured by science or faith. That's an important thing to realize, that we are still trying to trust Him with our even limited knowledge of His good self-revelation. He's known only as He reveals Himself. As Jesus said, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. So in any situation, we're pretty blind and poor in spirit. We say, God, unless You tell me about Yourself, I'm sunk. Unless You help me trust You, I don't know which way to turn. So our trust is in God. And all our problems and solutions then have to do with God. He's unaffected by time and motion. Remember the time in Joshua chapter 10 when Joshua's in a battle. He says, I don't know if we're going to win. So he asked God, can You make the sun just stop in the sky so we can have a victory here? And God stopped the sun for a whole day. Okay, time stood still. And the passage at the end says, and the Lord fought for Israel. So God said, I'm not going to be limited by motion or time. I can help your past, even though it's past. I can help you tomorrow, even though it's not here yet. You know, even some movies nowadays, they have people like you and I pause. Then they have other people move through the activity. And God is doing that all the time. All the time. It's kind of ironic we say that. Every moment. He's beyond motion and time. And He honors Himself. And then, so all our problems and solutions have to do with Him. A chance to depend on the all-sufficient God who reveals Himself to us. And then it allows us to see life as a God created, God saturated, directed experience. R.C. Sproul used to teach at college and seminary. He would always ask his students this question. He would say, is God in control of every molecule in the universe? Okay. And he said, the way you answer that question doesn't tell me if you're a Christian or not. It tells me if you believe in God or you're an atheist. Because if you say, no, God's not in control of every molecule, that means God's not much of a God. He's out there trying to play catch up. He's saying, oh my, what's going to happen next? You know, I have no idea. But if God has His finger on everything, and we don't know, can't see why or the end of it at all, He knows the beginning from the end, we can put our trust in Him. And we can say, Lord, I trust You in this joy I have, or in this pain, that You'd be in control of all there is. So it moves our heart to trust God that He's sufficient. Here's an old song about God's sovereignty. So He's sufficient, and then He's sufficient to rule. Oh, Father, You are sovereign in all the worlds You made. This is a great line here. Your mighty word was spoken, and life and light obeyed. So when God says, this is what it's going to be, we say, that's what it'll be. And life and light obey God when He speaks. And then Oh, Father, you are sovereign. But this is kind of hit you where you live. You got aches and pains. The Lord of human pain. Now, this hymn was written 100 years ago, you know. People had aches and pains like we do. Oh, Father, you are sovereign. The Lord of human pain, emotional pain, physical pain. God, you're in charge of that, too. Would you think it was just out of control, or what did you think? Changing earthly sorrows to gold of heaven's gain. That's something. That's living towards home when I say, I get, you know, somehow the pain that we have will end up being a praise to God in eternity because he's carrying us through it somehow. Okay, and if you study pain, by the way, you'll know that pain is a very efficient warning system that the Lord puts in our lives. Even if you have the pain of fatigue or the pain of, you know, spiritual distress, God's saying, hey, pay attention to this trial. Look to me in this difficulty. The Lord of pain. There's an old song that used to be sung at weddings called "O Perfect Love." Did anybody have that song sung at their wedding? "O Perfect Love, all human thought transcending." Be a good one for a renewal of vows if you have that. So here's verse 2. "O perfect life." So here's the people getting married. "O perfect life, that's you, Jesus. Be their full assurance of tender love and steadfast faith, of patient hope and quiet, brave endurance." You know, do you tell people following the Lord or even getting hitched, you know, you're going to need quiet, brave endurance if that spouse of yours. you're right. With childlike trust that fear not pain nor death. What a great thing that God would help us, even like a child said, I know it's going to be painful, and I know I'm going to die, but I'd fear not, because God's sufficient even for pain or death. Oh, man. I'm glad the Lord's like that. I'm glad he's sufficient. And God's sufficiency is a reason to worship God. It's a catalyst. Here's some reminders. Because in the beginning, God and the government will be on his shoulders, and he does according to his will in heaven on earth. And from God and through God and to God are all things. And worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Where else are we going to go? God's God and he's so powerful. So God is the catalyst to worship God. Song of 20 years ago or so. I've just seen Jesus. And all that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus. And I'll never be the same again. That's a look at the sufficient Christ. You know, all I did before don't matter anymore when standing in the presence of God. Just want to give him praise. And he's just not so far removed from us. He gather us like lambs in his arms, close to his heart, Isaiah 40 says. And our life is really a celebration of him. So God, the sufficiency of God, a catalyst for worship. And then moving to the last point here. God is the catalyst to trust God. Okay? If we're disappointed in ourselves, somebody said, it's because we believed in ourselves. We said, I'm going to be a real powerful Christian. You watch. Well, God's going to let you be disappointed in that trust. Yeah. To be disappointed in yourself is to have believed in yourself. Our chronic sin really is a huge room into which we can invite the grace of God. It's there waiting for us. Our problem, sin erodes our capacity to love, but God increases our capacity to love when we know he's sufficient. And sin is a terrible rejection of God's sufficiency, because sin is our quest for God's position. We say, no, I am going to be the center. I'll be the center of the universe, of my life. Of whatever, of the pew, of the pulpit, you. And all self-centeredness is a powerful evidence of our need for the grace of God. need of rescuing him. God's the beginning, creator, and end of all things, and our attempts to be the focus leaves us sinful, rebellious, broken, and distorted. So it's a terrible thing. But the sufficiency of God helps us to trust him. God is the reason to trust and obey God. And in closing, a victory over sin is not Christ plus my efforts, because God's sufficient, but Christ plus my receiving of his goodness. Okay, it's from faith to faith. So we're glad to serve, but it adds nothing to our salvation. It's just a praise, a thank you to God to give those thank offerings. I like this quote. This is a real oldie from J.N. Darby. How many know who J.N. Darby is? I think I got his... Okay, a couple people. Thank you. He had something to do with the King James Scofield Bible or something like that. The Holy Spirit does not reason what man is for God. You know, God's not going to ever say, hey, let me tell you how great you could be for me, because, you know, you're kind of impressed with your abilities and talents and so on. The Holy Spirit does not reason what man is for God. He reasons what God is to us. But oh my, we can know God. This is what a gift, what an opportunity for life and eternal life forever. And then on into the gospel, God's sufficiency is seen in our salvation. Even when we think of devotion, this is an important one, because I think in our statement of faith, it says we're to be fully devoted disciples of Christ. But remember about devotion. To say devotion first, blessing second, is to reverse the gospel. So you're working your way to something that's not healthy at that point. But the gospel is blessing first, Jesus first, and then you're devoted to him, because only Jesus' love can produce sons of obedience. Sons of obedience. And so that's who the Lord makes us to be. And then just a blessing to close in 2 Thessalonians 2. Again, God's sufficiency presented, and then our following with gladness. 2 Thessalonians 2, a blessing for each of us. I think this will be our closing prayer. May our Lord Jesus and God our Father, who loved us, gave us eternal comfort and good confidence, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And Father, we commit our trust to you, our worship, our obedience, knowing you're sufficient for the day and we're dependent for the day. Comfort us, give us confidence, and establish us in every good work and word that you prepared in advance for us to walk in. Bless each dear one here. Lord, thank you for them and their precious salvation that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.